Now, this morning, I received a call from a nail that Jim was not feeling well at all, and that she was going to stay home with him and take care of him. And so I said, we'll be in prayer. Well, then, about an hour later, Jeff Langston called, and they had to take Jim to the hospital. And that's all that I know at this point. And so, we'll spend a few moment here in prayer. I'm going to ask each one of you your own words, your own way with God. Jim Langston has been a wonderful servant of the Lord in this assembly. And I have to face the facts, he is getting up there in age. And so please be in prayer for Jim Langston's health and that he improves here. I guess I'm a little optimistic. I had been praying that he'd have about 5 more years with us, but I don't know. And but this morning he's not doing well at all. And he needs our prayers to call on God to come down and touch his body. That's all in God's hands. God's perfect timing, what God's going to do and how he's going to do it. And we have to know that. But we know from Job chapter 1 that we can incite God to act. And that's what our prayers are about. So let's spend a few moments here in silent prayer. Let each one of you in your own way be in prayer for Jim Langston and Annelle, the doctors. Take care of Jim today in the hospital. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before the throne of grace together, like-minded in our petition for our friend and fellow comrade in the battle, Jim Langston. I know that you love him. He is your servant. He has served you in this assembly faithfully, unbelievably faithfully. And Father, his future is just in your hands. That's all that we can say. Pray that you will restore his health this morning. Give, revive his strength. He can come back and worship with us and hopefully serve. Now, Father, we pray as we move into our study. Pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see and to understand. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. However, we are looking at Exodus chapter 34 to look at the essence of God as per God's analysis. Now, years ago, many years ago now, I'm sorry to say, let's see, almost 60 years ago. No. But anyway, I started attending Baraka Church, and one of the first things that grasped my soul was his clear teaching on the essence of God. And he started in his teaching and understanding with the sovereignty of God. And people, when we pray, when you think about what you're going to pray, just remember, he is sovereign. He is sovereign above all. Above angels, above administrations, above man. God is sovereign. His will be done. And with the aid of and support of man or without it, it will be done. And then we went from the sovereignty of God to his perfect righteousness. And I like that this was before love. Because righteousness sets the standard of how God is going to act. And a lot of people have him go against his righteousness because of his love. You have to understand God is a righteous God. That is paramount. He is a righteous God. And he cannot violate his own righteousness. Then we come to justice. And the justice of God is very, is really interesting in the study of the Bible. Zechariah, the people of Israel ask for justice. That's what they don't want. If they understood what they were asking for, that's the last thing they really wanted. But you have to understand his justice, how it's going to work. And then came his love. And the love of God, we all understand. Most people have a misunderstanding of the love of God. And then eternal life. No beginning, no end. And then the three O's. Omniscience. All-knowing. Omniscient. Omnipresent. Everywhere. And then omnipotent, all-powerful. My good friend John Hintz, and by the way, I hope you enjoyed his chart last week. It was a very good chart. He likes to have fun with all of this. It's his type of humor. He said, you know, God's just lucky. And when you're sovereign and omniscient, you can be lucky. And but when you combine the totalness of God, when you're in prayer, when you know him. And then after that came immutability. It never changes. And you get into replacement theology or taking away salvation, loss of salvation. You don't understand the immutability of God. Do not understand it. And then veracity, the truthfulness of God. He that worships may worship in spirit and in truth. Now, in seminary, we took theology. And under theology, they broke down the essence of God that we've just gone through by those that he can communicate and those that he cannot. God cannot communicate omniscience. I know sometimes some people think they know it all, but they don't. And he doesn't communicate that. And in a strict way, he doesn't communicate eternal life. What he does communicate to us is everlasting life. We don't have eternal life. Eternal life means no beginning, no end. We have a beginning. And then once we believe in Jesus Christ, everlasting after that, we have salvation and life with him. And so he's able to impart that. His love, he's able to impart that. So understanding the essence of God is paramount to our relationship with him, your prayer with him, those kind of things. Now, I want you to look at Exodus 34, which is we're in the midst of studying. It's been a couple of weeks. So let's take a look. Exodus 34. And let's just read to verse 6, and then verse 6 is where I want to get to this morning. Now the Lord said to Moses, cut out for yourself two stone tablets, just like the former ones. And I will write on the stone, the tablets, the words that were on the former tablets, which, by the way, you threw down. So, thank you, Moses. I'll have to redo my assignment. So, Moses, be ready in by morning. Come up in the mountain to Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on the top of the mountain. No man is to come up with you, nor let any man be seen anywhere on the mountain. Even the flocks and the herds may not graze in front of that mountain. So, Moses cut out two stone tablets, like the former ones, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. And he took two stone tablets in his hand. The Lord descended to the in the cloud and stood there before with him. And as he called upon the name of the Lord, then the Lord, verse 6 now, this is our passage. Then verse 6, then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed. Now, the essence that I just went through, that I learned from Bob Theme, are all correct, biblically sustained. Here's God's telling us what he's like. What we've just done is a categorical study of the essence of God. Righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence, all that. Now, this is what God has to say about himself. And people, the reason this is so important, well, there are a lot of reasons. One reason is for your own personal prayer life. Your own personal Christian life. You want to know what God is like. If a man loves a wife, if a wife loves the husband, they want to know them. What pleases them? What does not please them? What encourages them? What does not encourage them? Those kinds of things. Simple things like, what does he like to eat? What does she like to eat? How do they like to cook? All these kind of things. This makes for a wonderful relationship. So if you're going to have a relationship with God, you want to know what God is like. In your prayer life, know how to pray. You want to know what he is like. Is he a God that's up there waiting to beat everybody, therefore to be greatly feared of anything you might say or do? What is God like? So let's look at verse 6 and find out what God is like. The Lord God, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth. Five characteristics of God that we should know in our prayer life, in our relationship with him. What is God like? What is God going to be like? And this becomes so important in our lives. Now, let's jump from that. We'll come back to it. But let's look at Psalm 86. Psalm 86. Do what? It's right. The situation of Jim Langston is improved while he's at the hospital there. Okay. Just improved? No, okay. All right. Well, thank you, Father, for that answered prayer. And just continue to be in prayer and that it will sustain him and give him strength. Thank you very much. Okay. Psalm 86. Now, we're not going to spend months on this. We'll just spend a few minutes. But let's go through Psalm 86 and let's begin at verse 1, where we begin with a relationship. People, the thing about our God is we have an intimate personal relationship. No Muslim has a relationship with Allah. No Muslim has a personal, intimate relationship with Allah. He's not a God. He's an idol. Our God is real. We have an intimate personal relationship with God. Okay, verse 1. Incline your ear, O Lord. So he starts off with a prayer request. And answer me, for I am afflicted and needy. So, as we've seen before, in the Exodus 36 passage, 34 passage, that this is under distress. It says a distress situation. David is in a distressful situation. Now, let's look at verse 2, request. Preserve my soul, for I am a godly man. You, my God, save your servant who instructs to you.